We go to the hotline, joined now by Tom Lucci of the Newark Star-Ledger. Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, just stuck out. How are you guys doing?
Good. Okay, what's the snow total now up there?
You know, we've stopped counting. I think we got about 8 or 9 inches. They said we're supposed to get another one tonight, maybe another 3 to 4, and then possibly on Saturday, 1 to 2. So I don't know. I woke up one day, and I'm living in Buffalo. That's basically what it comes down to.
Tom, down here, when we're going to get an inch of snow, people run to the store and get bread and milk. What do y'all run get up there?
We don't move, honestly, Wally. We just, I spent the whole morning and afternoon shoveling out, and that's what people do. We have the neighbors help each other. Everybody helps each other shovel out. And but you can't, the roads are barely passable. They shut down a lot of the highways. I mean, this was a lot of snow on top of ice and snow that we had. So I don't remember. I've lived here my whole life. I don't remember a winter quite like this.
Wow. And I guess
I know you guys have had bad weather too, because I've seen Oakland's canceled.
Well, it was last week.
Days.
Yeah, last week it got below freezing.
We had 4 inches, buddy. We came to a standstill.
Well, let me tell you something. If the clouds are out, Wally, I've seen you come to a standstill.
One thing before we get into college football talk, Tom, Wally says we have to ask you, who is your Derby horse?
Well, right now, it's not that I'm going to be noncommittal, but I'm going to be noncommittal because they haven't run enough races. I just watched the Robert Lewis. I will tell you guys one thing. There's a 3-year-old making his debut, or scheduled to make his debut at Fairgrounds on Sunday, 7.5 furlongs on the grass, who's named after me. The horse's name is Lucci. So he's a son of Lemon Drop Kid, and he's we're waiting for them to draw the entries. So we'll see how he does. He looks like he's going to be a distance horse and a grass horse, so... We'll see. I'm going to watch him first.
So the horse has better breeding than you do?
No, no question about it. Better breeding, better confirmation, probably writes better, too.
I doubt it. Tom, Rob Smith, what can you tell Arkansas fans about Rob Smith?
Well, he's a good, solid football coach. I mean, we don't have great access to the assistants, when we cover Rutgers. But, we do have some access, and Rob was here for 4 years, so I did get to know him a little bit. And I enjoyed my conversations with Rob. I don't think he's a gung-ho media guy, only because he likes to work behind the scenes. That's the impression I get of him. But he's a real solid football coach. And I'll tell you what, if they adopt his philosophy on defense, which Greg Schiano instilled in him, which is why Greg Schiano brought him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, you'll see kind of a different defense for Arkansas. It's it won't be your big physical defense that maybe you guys are used to, I'm not sure, but certainly in Alabama kind of runs, and you see a lot in the SEC. This is not, if Rob is able to craft the defense that he wants, it will be a smaller, faster, more athletic defense that puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. He likes to be aggressive.
We were used to no defense last year, so any defense will help.
Well, Rob, and he got this from Greg Schiano, and I covered Greg for 12 years. They don't have, I don't think you can transform things overnight, but I don't think in the 11 years that Greg Schiano was here that he had a 300-pound defensive lineman. I mean, that's not the way they operated. They would have 260-pound tackles who were athletic and quick and 235, 40-pound defensive ends who could get after the quarterback. And then they utilized their safeties and linebackers to blitz. They liked them. They're very, very aggressive. And that's the system that Rob has coached. And I think that's the style he's probably most comfortable with.
But in the SEC, you're going up against those big offensive linemen. If you don't have some weight to kind of try and level that out, wouldn't your defensive line get pushed all over the field?
Well, you would think so. But, I mean, to be honest with you, Rutgers didn't have big defensive lines under Rob, as I said. And when he was defensive coordinator here, and I guess the last time was 2012, they were 4th in the country in scoring and 10th in total defense. The more telling stat was that they were 9th in turnovers created. That's what they do. They'll utilize speed and athleticism to get around those bigger tackles that you're talking about and put pressure on the quarterback. That's what he wants to do. They're not a read-and-react defense. They're a get after the quarterback, let's go, let's create havoc kind of defense. So that's the way it's been here, whether he carries that over to Arkansas. I'm not sure, but he's been familiar with that system and his coaching for the past 5-6 years.
He's going to have to do some adjusting because they don't have that much speed.
Well, it's going to take a little time, yeah. The other thing they do, Wally, is they they put a lot of responsibility on their corners because they'll blitz their safeties, and you know they don't mind bringing linebackers. I mean, they don't they didn't use a traditional middle linebacker, you know, in the sense of, you know, we sat in the middle of this 4-3 and they funneled everything to him. I looked up a stat just this year because they kind of changed the defense a little bit. They had a redshirt freshman linebacker who led the team in tackles. And I think I had to go back 12 years to find the last time a middle linebacker at Rutgers led the team in tackles. So it's one of those, like I say, a lot of those 4-3s, they funnel everything into a middle linebacker. He's a short tackler. You know, you think of Ohio State like that and probably Alabama a little bit, but that's not the way this defense has been, and Rob's been a big part of it.
Talk about Rob recruiting-wise. Is he known on the recruiting trail? Is he a good recruiter?
The reputation I have is he's a pretty solid recruiter. More like, as I said, a behind-the-scenes X and O guy. He seems to relate very well to the players. He doesn't, you know, I'm not sure if he was completely ever comfortable around the media. He did what was necessary. He probably used it as a necessary evil, part of the job, you know. So I don't think he'll say, wow, he's a real splashy, charismatic guy. He's a good guy, but he's not going to dazzle you or wow you right away, probably the first time you meet him. But, you know, I'd much prefer the guys that are great at the X's and O's and real solid football guys, and Rob is certainly that.
Well, we had him on the show Tuesday, and he was pretty enthusiastic and passionate.
Yeah, he has a lot of enthusiasm. I'm not going to deny that, but as I said, in terms of trying to, you know, Wally, when you try to get him to tell you stuff about the defense, that's kind of when he clams up. You know,
he doesn't want to let his secrets out.
More specific stuff. In general terms, I can say he's a good guy. I like Rob. I think we got along well. I think he would tell you that if you asked him. I respected what he did. I think he respected what I did. But in terms of being a quote machine, no, not when it came to the defense. In terms of general stuff, yes. And that's where I think you see where, you know, part of what makes him probably a real good recruiter is that he can interchange that kind of personality.
Okay, Tom, you keep up nationally with football. Obviously, Ohio State's going to be near the top next year, Auburn, Florida State. Have you got a dark horse for next year?
A dark horse for next year. Florida State, you mentioned.
Florida State can't be a dark horse.
Can Michigan State be one of those Final Four?
Be a dark horse. I would think there'd probably have to be somebody from the Pac-12 come out of there. Now, I don't. They've become so established now. Stanford and Oregon. I don't know if they would.
Well, UCLA has their quarterback coming back, and they're doing some good things.
UCLA has their quarterback coming back. I just don't know if they can get over that hump in that division because they're not quite good enough. Transferring into the big. You know who? I'll give you one. Well. I was going to say Louisville, but I think that with Teddy Bridgewater coming out and Charlie Strong leaving, maybe Texas. Because, you know, I saw Charlie Strong up close and personal long enough to know that he's a good, solid football coach. Now, whether that'll play in Texas, I don't know, but it sure did work at Louisville.
He should be able to get any recruit he wants at Texas.
Should be able to, and it's been mind-boggling to me that Texas has not had a great quarterback. You know, since Colt McCoy left, you know, which is a couple of quarterbacks ago. I mean, Derek Gilbert wound up transferring to SMU and was okay there. But in the state of Texas, for the University of Texas, not to have a, you know, one of those star quarterbacks.
Well, they didn't.
Even if it's a Vince Young type, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, they didn't go after RG3. Jameis Winston tried to contact them, and they wouldn't even return his phone call.
Johnny Manziel. They didn't offer back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners from the state of Texas.
I'm thinking about it. You guys caught me offside. But Oklahoma, after what I saw in the bowl game and of their quarterback because he's young, you know, I was very, very impressed with them in the bowl game. And I know we always say, you know, well, this Oklahoma team's loaded and Bob Stoops is going to get over the hump, which he hasn't done in terms of a national top five finish probably since 2002. But I think they have the potential to be one of those sleepers that you're talking about. Now, people know about Oklahoma, so it's not completely under the radar, but with what that redshirt freshman quarterback showed in the bowl game, I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. Baylor and Oklahoma would probably be the favorites in the Big 12 next year.
Tom, with you being just across the Hudson from New York, your thoughts on Derek Jeter announcing his retirement at the end of the year?
Well, I grew up a Yankees fan. I still have, from my childhood, I still have the 1965 Yankees yearbook, which was the year after the last World Series that they were in before they went that long gap where they had some very, very lean years. Probably the epitome, you know, if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of Yankees, and I know it's people think it's you're the elite of the league when you talk about Ruth and Garrick and DiMaggio. I think Jeter belongs in that Mount Rushmore of Yankees. I truly do.
Wow.
I can't argue with you. I think
And you know, you run out of space there with the Yankees because they have some of the all-time greats, but I think what Jeter has done consistently in the way he's carried himself, you know, I mean, he's a beloved figure here, and you know this is going to be kind of a Mariano Rivera farewell tour times 10 is what this whole year is going to be for Derek Jeter.
And I think it'd be real telling. They finish in Fenway, the standing ovation that Boston, that rival, you know they're going to give him a standing ovation. Would Boston do that to a lot of?
Tickets have already gone through the roof.
160% up already.
People already know. They've already figured out which is going to be his last game, and the tickets now—it's just—they're impossible to get.
That's what we should have done yesterday, guys. We should, as soon as he announced, we should have bought tickets for his final game, right then.
Put them on eBay. And,
yes.
And well, all of you would be retired except Wally. I know he's still too much in debt to be retired by anything, but. The other guys might be retired.
Hey, by the way, Eisenberg stiffed us on coming on the show and talking about his 480th consecutive Super Bowl.
Yeah, why is that? Why don't you, really, I could have gotten it for you because I just talked to him today. He's one of now only two guys, you know, who have, because Edwin Pope didn't make it this year. Edwin's apparently is not well or up to it. So there's only two regular newspaper guys that have gone to every single Super Bowl, and Eisenberg's one of them.
Wow.
So he said his goal is to make it to 50.
And he will.
He will.
That's when he's going to stop. He's at 48 now, so he's got two more to go. He wants to make the first 50 Super Bowls, and he says that's it.
He'll make 50 if you have to drive him.
Well, I almost had to this year because it was in our backyard, but he worked it out.
Tom, thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, give Rob Schmidt my best, too. Tell him I said hello when you guys talk to him.